White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 501.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you. The Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico here with the 501 Blues. And I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
I thought I'd lost you again, John. We're fighting the technical problems this week, as usual. Well, so it's kind of like we came into this episode tonight knowing that there was no game this past weekend. And over the course of the day today, what have we just discovered, John?
There's no game this coming weekend. Mississippi State game postponed to December 12th.
That's the last open week, right? Like the one before the SEC championship game?
Yep.
So now we allegedly have, I say allegedly because who knows how this will actually play out. So now we allegedly have two games after Alabama before the SEC championship game. So that, I don't think that's happened since the series resumed. I know there have been years that we had one game after Alabama in weird years like 2001, but I don't think there's been years that they played like Hawaii, you know, when they were on probation after us. But I don't think there's ever been a year that we had two games after the Alabama game.
Not regular game season games.
Right.
No.
Right,
even
right.
In hurricane years and stuff.
Not two, right. So that's really yet another weird weirdness goes in the books for 2020. It's 2020 is one for the record books. There's no doubt about it. What a bizarre year this has been. So you had a note that it was nice not to stress out on a Saturday. And I noted on Twitter yesterday or whenever that with everything been going on in the news and sports and everything else, I kind of like was kind of glad we didn't have a game because it was just been one more. I wouldn't have been able to give it as much attention as I wanted to. I was paying attention to too many other things, so I was kind of glad that this was our off week Saturday because I felt like that was a good week both for the health of the team, let everybody kind of get debanged up from those first six games and everything. We ended it on a high note the first segment of the season with the LSU win and everything. I just felt like it was the perfect weekend to have a break. For so many reasons. But now I look ahead to this coming weekend and not playing a game, and I'm just furious because this is completely the opposite. I'm glad we had an off week this past Saturday. I want Auburn football this coming Saturday. I'm ready to drive down to Starkville and slap some people around. Man. So what do you think? What do you make of this?
I mean, I get it. I really did appreciate, like you said, not having a game last weekend. It was big. We all needed it. The team needed it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, I'm disappointed, especially because we're going to beat Mississippi State. They're terrible. Now's the time to play them.
Yeah.
And they went and messed around, and now we're the game's postponed. And the funny thing was, there's some other SEC games that are also in danger of being postponed or canceled, including the Alabama LSU game this weekend and the Texas A&M Tennessee game.
Ah.
And so, like, because of outbreaks at A&M and LSU, and so the two things out on Twitter this afternoon, well, we should go ahead and play the Alabama game now, or we should go ahead and play the Tennessee game now, which the Tennessee game, fine, let's go, let's do it.
Yeah.
But I am not ready to play Alabama this weekend.
Well, I mean, don't you need a little time to prepare for a game like that? I mean, you're shifting from getting ready for the getting ready for the air raid to getting ready for Alabama is quite a. I mean, I guess it would be possible, but I wouldn't want to be the coaches that had to. But I guess Alabama would be under the same handicap that we would, though.
They would, but they'd be playing at home. We'd have to add in a travel time, too, so it would be
really hard on them. That's true. It would give us a heck of an excuse, though, if we lost. Well, nobody could have expected us to win that game with it being changed at the last minute and everything. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, would you want us to play? I guess it would kind of make sense to shuffle them around a little bit. I mean, it's not like there's 87,000 fans that are going to be put out if the game is at a different is like with a different opponent or something. You know, I mean, if there was ever a year you could switch the teams around, you know, this seems like it.
Yeah, I agree. So I mean, the SEC office probably had that conversation, but I think it's because those other games haven't been canceled yet. Or postponed that they're, you know, that's where we are. So,
well, they better hurry up because you got to have some preparation time. My gosh. I mean,
yeah. I mean, again, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's happening. I think we're going to have an off week again.
Yeah. It's just annoying. So, I mean, so like the CBS big game will be Vanderbilt versus whoever.
I don't know what they'll do because for people who haven't forgotten, this is the weekend when CBS is also doing the Masters. So, it's going to be Masters golf all afternoon Saturday, and then the Alabama LSU game was the night. It was going to be at night.
So you say Texas A&M Tennessee. I'm just making notes here for when we get to this week's games around trip around the SEC. So yeah,
that's
Georgia.
Questionable.
So Georgia, either Arkansas, Florida, or Georgia, Missouri, I guess would be the game to replace Alabama LSU. I mean, there's not much left, and Auburn. Again,
but I'm saying it's tough just because of the scheduling. If one of those was already scheduled to happen at night, the CBS could take it over. But,
yeah,
you know, again, it takes time to set all that stuff up, too.
Oh, that's true. This is crazy. Oh, man. I'm glad you reminded me about the Masters, though. That's the one golf thing every year I actually do watch. I enjoy that. And so, I'll try. At least if I don't have Auburn, at least I have something else going on. There's no IndyCar that Saturday. It's done. IndyCar is over. Formula One Sunday morning, probably. So, the Masters will be pretty much it. Ooh, that means Sunday will be a Formula One race, and then Sunday at Augusta. That's pretty nice. I can do that. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad Sunday. Heck no.
Well, and I'm not a big – I don't watch a lot of college game day anymore. Normally I watch kind of just the end right before the noon games kick off. But they are going to broadcast from Augusta National.
Oh, really? Well, there aren't any actual football games going on this week, guys. Everybody's got the Rona, so instead we're going to be out here broadcasting from the golf tournament. Isn't that something?
That's it.
I like that. I'm just thinking what Barkley would say at Augusta. Like, we had to kick six. We had to kick ass. Now we're going to I don't know the current golfers well enough to even been able to make a joke out of it. Man, that kind of fell flat. Oh, no. But anyway, yeah, that'll be okay. So it's not all bad. It's just it sucks to not have an Auburn game, and we could lose the Alabama LSU game too. And at that point, life is really not worth living. So, So, yeah, so December 12th, then that'll be the weird last game. When we ever end a season with Mississippi State? That's pretty and we still don't know really anything about the bowl games, do we?
No, I mean they're going to try to have some bowl games, but we'll see. I mean,
yeah. Well, as you put it, seemingly months ago now, the bowls have never been canceled. It's just that we don't know what they'll be able to do. They didn't like preemptively just go ahead and cancel the bowl games. It's just a matter of will both teams show up able to play? I mean, you know, given the current system where the teams are playing just with hardly any fans or very well not hardly any they've had a heck of a lot at some places, I could see them doing the bowls that way for the TV revenue, but I could also see teams not being able to play, you know, just like this weekend.
Sure. No, it's going to happen. There's going to be a bowl game that's scheduled and can't happen, so all those kind of things are going to happen. But I think they're going to try to have them like every other year, and one of the things they've said is that, you know, like you have to win six game things is out the window. So it's kind of whatever, anybody can go to a bowl game basically if they get.
Well, I was going to say, you know what ESPN might want to do since they run like 9/10 of the bowl games, it seems like. What they might want to do is take some crap teams like they were showing, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season and have them scheduled to play like an extra game. It doesn't even have to be a bowl, just like an extra game at the same time as the bowls. And then if the bowl gets canceled, they could just flip over and show, you know, Central Arkansas versus Tulsa or something. At least have something on.
Sure. Or that could just be the bowl game.
They could have them sitting in the parking lot in the bus and say, well, fellas, you're on. It's like the replacement players, you know, in the NFL strike. They just come in and they just become the new team, yeah. They could even dress out in the uniforms of the teams that can't play. They could flip a coin. Oh, you get to be LSU. Congratulations, Central Arkansas. You get to be LSU this tonight. Oh, that'd be cool. They might do better. They might do much better. They couldn't do much worse, honestly, right now. All right. So you have anything else about the cancellations? Have we heard anything from Gus? I know the players were like tweeting or Instagramming or whatever the kids do today. They were So nothing from Gus.
No, I mean they're just disappointed, and you know, felt like the off week was good for us and getting ready to play. Now this happens, but it's what it is, and it's another reminder that you know that Auburn's been doing a good job and being careful, and you know we wish everybody else would do the same thing.
So. That's the truth. So our next game now becomes Tennessee unless something changes.
Yes.
Okay.
Tennessee at home a week from Saturday, it'll be a night game.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
So that'd be good.
Yeah. No, that's sure. Okay. So a week from today, when we reconvene for our next episode, we'll be previewing Tennessee and hoping that that actually happens. Imagine if Tennessee comes down with something between now and then. I mean, at that point,
then we're in the I mean, the like as an example, the Big Ten came back, but they don't have any off weeks built into their schedule because they started so late. So these games that have gotten, you know, they haven't happened, they're not going to happen. So like Wisconsin, Nebraska, whatever, that game's never getting made up. It's just out. So they're going to have teams with different numbers of games and wins competing for the division titles.
Yeah. Well, that's not entirely unheard of. You know, there have been years that teams played in like the kickoff classic and stuff.
Sure.
So you had some statistics you wanted to throw at us.
I do. I have some interesting Auburn football statistics and things I was thinking about over the off week. And I thought I would throw some of them at you, just some ideas and some things that might surprise you and things that probably won't surprise you. But I tried to look, you know, this year and compare it to the two previous years in a number of categories, just to look at some things and see what's out there. So
interesting.
I'm going to go through some different stat categories and throw some things at you, and we'll see what you think. So the first one is about kind of Auburn's defense compared to the last couple of years and production, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I looked at was kind of there's two main advanced stat rankings, SP Plus and FEI, and they both are kind of opponent adjusted performance metrics, basically. And the difference is that SP Plus looks at play-by-play kind of how well you did, and FEI looks at kind of drive-by-drive how well you did. And so the thing that will not shock anyone is that based on the drive-by-drive kind of system, Auburn's defense is still pretty good. So like 14th in the country in that metric. And then on the play-by-play metric, we're 23rd in the country. And that kind of reflects the kind of that bend but don't break kind of thing, where we give up some yards, but we stop people before they get to the end zone mostly.
Yeah.
And so that's not a shock. But again, like last year in that same category, we were fourth, right?
Uh-huh.
And then so in the category where we're 23rd, you know, we were basically like second last year and sixth the year before. So a little bit of a drop off on that side.
Well, I was going to say, John, it seemed to me like the first couple of games in particular, we were very bad against the run. Does that, you know, I mean, we've gotten better. We really got better against LSU. But yes. Kentucky was kind of having their way with us, and Georgia just came out and looked like men against boys running the ball.
Yeah, yes.
So I would have been shocked if our numbers were any better.
Yeah, and the other one that's similar to that is third down defense, right? Where we're much worse, I think, in that category. So this is one that kind of leapt out to me. So 2018, opponents got a on third down, opponents got a first down 32% of the time. Okay.
Hmm.
In 2019, it was 29% of the time. Mm-hmm. So that was in the top five of the country. In 2020, it's 52% of the time.
God.
And I think that's gone down a good bit the last two games, but
yeah,
it's still way too high.
It was probably 75% after Georgia. Oh.
Yes.
And South Carolina, I mean, even they, that didn't help us, sad as it is to say. Yeah. By the way, I just have to say, I love how South Carolina kicked our butts, and then everything I've seen this week is, oh, man, South Carolina is so bad, they may fire Will Muschamp any moment. I'm like, come on. Of all the teams,
come on,
you know.
Come on, man.
I mean, yeah.
Come on. Come on, man.
I'm just like, how is it that the same team that we couldn't stop, that just, you know, racked up points on us and beat us there at the end, how is it that they suddenly are terrible? They, you know, I feel like if we played South Carolina again, maybe we'd do better. I mean, we talked about this before. That was a game where
we would kill them if we played them again.
Yeah,
we Auburn turned the ball over three times on our end of the field and had a bunch of defensive penalties that allowed South Carolina to stay in that game. And on what we did on offense, a lot of times was stupid. This was the,
yeah,
you know, very much the force the ball to Seth game.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really depressing, though, John? I think if we played Georgia again, we'd beat them.
Well, yeah. 100%. That quarterback has dropped off a cliff since we played them. He's terrible now. I would love another shot at him. And I think we have kind of figured out offensively who we are, and we perform better. But this is the irony thing is that, you know, we played Georgia early in the season and they beat us, and now in the normal time we're going to play them, I think our offense will finally be clicking.
So. It's infuriating because I know, because we were saying this is our big chance. We get them at the early in the year, and it ends up being, this is like the one year you didn't want to play them early in the year. You wanted to play them late. It's absolutely infuriating. It just drives me nuts. I mean, I feel like we played both of them, the teams that beat us, we played both of them the one time of the season that we shouldn't have played them. Unbelievable.
It's what it is. So, all right, I got some more stats for you.
Okay.
All right. Another one I've looked at that's kind of interesting to me is like just yards per play given up on defense, right? And so in 2018, we gave up 5.2 yards per play, which was kind of, you know, upper third of the SEC. In 2019, we gave up 4.8 yards per play. And that was like, I don't think we were third in the SEC in that. And in 2020, we're giving up 5.3 yards per play. There are no SEC teams giving up less than 5 yards per play this year. And like last year, there were seven. And this year, there are zero. And this is just another example of how offense is up across the league. And kind of, and obviously, defense is down when offense is up. So.
This is just a weird year like that. I mean, how much has it had to do with the no spring practice versus how much of it is like offensive schemes and coaches and players? I mean, we're not the Big 12, but you'd think we were. What is it, you know, how it, well, you've got Ole Miss throwing the ball around, moving the ball pretty well that they didn't usually. Mississippi State, at least in a couple of games, has moved the ball pretty well that they wouldn't have before, I guess.
Florida,
yeah. And I think we're better on offense than we were last year now that we got things kind of figured out.
It's a good question. I think some of it is the spring thing and the practice time thing. You know, the defense requires more collective time to get everybody on the same page all the time. And I think LSU is a good example of that. If they had gone through spring with the defensive coordinator, they wouldn't be as atrocious as they are. But I think we're also – it's larger than that because it's not a one-year thing. It's an era of college football where offense is supreme. Where, I mean, again, it goes back to like LSU last year. It didn't matter who they played. It didn't matter what defense you had. That was a really great offense. And you know, I think we see, you know, teams with really great offenses can, you know, win games and do damage against anybody. So I think that matters. So I've got a couple more for you here.
Mm-hmm.
One is the defensive line. One of the advanced stats on the defensive line is called stuff rate. And it's basically the percentage of carries by the other team's running backs that are stopped at or before the line of scrimmage, right? So you can imagine in 2018 and 2019, we were pretty good in that. So in those 2 years, the percentage of carries that were stopped at or behind the line of scrimmage was 22% and 23%. That's a lot. That was a top, like top five in the country.
Sure.
And this year it's 14%.
Well,
that's a hundredth.
I do think it's gotten better lately, right? It just seems like we're playing better on both sides of the ball after the first, well, not the first, but I guess it was like what, weeks 2, 3, 4, we're at our kind of our lowest.
Mm-hmm.
We played Georgia week 2, and then we struggled with Arkansas, Ole Miss, and then we had the South Carolina loss kind of in some order in there, and that's when we were at our kind of our lowest, I think. And looking back, I feel pretty good about the way the Arkansas game played out. I mean, I know it was controversial, but that's a win that I'm glad to have in my pocket now.
Absolutely. No, I mean, they're a good team. So,
who thought we would be saying that?
I know, you're right.
We thought they were going to be 0-10.
Statement.
Yeah, really.
I got a few more for you here just before we break out. One is about the share of receptions among the different groups of people on the team. But combined, Seth William and Anthony Schwartz, 61% of all targets on Auburn pass plays. Individually, they're both, they're at 30 and 31%. They're in the top five in the SEC in individual targets.
Percentage. Shocking.
So together, it's a huge. Yeah. But Eli Stove, 12% of targets. The running backs as a group, 10%.
That's bad.
With Tank, most of that.
Stove, I can forgive because he's been injured a lot. I think that number would be higher if he had played more. He just hasn't been on the field as much as the other guys. Yeah. But the running back number should be higher.
It's about 6. I agree 100%. And Tank is really good as a receiver. Like,
yeah.
He should be more.
The tight ends are what, 6?
6%.
See, that should be higher too. That's almost entirely Pegues, right?
Pegues.
I'll never get it. But that's like almost all him.
We need our own nickname for him. So you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Any other interesting stats? Those were certainly interesting. What else?
I think one is that I've tried to look for a lot of stuff about, has Bo Nix developed? Can we tell any difference, right?
Mm.
And so one of the basic things with quarterbacks is kind of passer rating that measures kind of how well it's, you know, are you efficient and accurate and that kind of stuff. And so I looked at the last 3 years. So obviously 3 years ago it was Stidham, and the last year was Bo Nix as a freshman, and this year is Bo Nix as a sophomore. And so here's the passer rating numbers for those 3 years, like from 18, 19, 20. 137, 125, 132. So the previous year, I went back and looked at 17. Jared Stidham, that was his really good year, right?
Yeah.
It was like 150. So he was really good that year. But Nix is about as good as second year Stidham right now. But the other one that's interesting to me is kind of like passer rating on third down, because that's when it matters, right? And so in 2018, Stidham's pass rating on third down was 129. Last year, Bo Nix's pass rating on third down was 96, which is not good. Mm-mm. And this year, it's 122. So he's improved a lot in that. I think it's him and the offense both getting better and making stuff happen.
Definitely. Definitely, yeah.
The only other one I got for you is this. This is an advanced stat about the offensive line, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one a stat called opportunity rate, and it's basically the percentage of all the carries by running backs that go at least 4 yards. And so the idea is on those, the offensive line did their job, right?
Yeah.
Just as a measure. And so some of that is obviously the running backs, but over the course of the season, if the offensive line is doing their job, this should be a pretty good number. So in 2018, that was 49%. In 2019, it was 45%. And this year, it's 58%.
And that, tell me again what that's ranking.
That is the percentage of carries that go at least 4 yards.
Okay. So, yeah, that's Tank, isn't it? Well, and it's Nix.
it's Tank, it's Nix, but it's also the run blocking. Like, they're run blocking better and more consistently. We're not getting blown up in the backfield as much as we did last year.
Right. No, that's right. And it's, I mean, I think that we thought pretty much that the offensive line situation was going to be dire all season. And I don't mean Michael Dyer. I mean, like, D-I-R-E, you know.
Yes, yes.
So and that's good.
It's not. So I thought that was interesting. And I would tell you, I looked at all those offensive line stats. Auburn's offensive line is in the top three or four in the SEC in many of those categories. And so I think that would really shock some people. They're not great. They're not the best in the country or anything, but especially on the run blocking side, they're doing a pretty good job.
And I was just looking. I see that total offense Auburn over the Gus Malzahn era, the year with the best total offense under Gus, what year would you say that was?
14.
That would be second. 2013, we had 501 total offense. 2014, 485, and then it declined. Our next best year was 2017, which you might guess since we went to the SEC championship game. And then 20 with 451, and then 2016 with 440. And last year's next, 406. And then 2018, we had 389. And finally, at the bottom, of course, was 2015 at 370. Man, what a difference between 2013 and 2015. We dropped from 501 yards a game to 370. Whew, unbelievable. How much difference does it make losing Nick Marshall and having a Jeremy Johnson that was not playing well? It's just amazing how much difference that makes.
It matters. I mean, I like yards per play because then it takes out kind of the when we were just going fast and running a bunch of plays on people. And you're right that like that, you know, those years it's way better. So I think that's one where I think this year's offense is, you know, done okay, but I think it's gotten better, dramatically better the last 2 weeks.
Here's an interesting thing, talking about the offensive line. Sacks allowed. 2017, our big year where Jarrett Stidham and Kerryon got us to Atlanta, 2017 we gave up 36 sacks, 100th in the country. 36 sacks, 100th in the country. Last year we gave up half of that, 18. And so far this year we've given up 12. And none in the LSU game.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, a lot of that is just the Bo Nix's athleticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there's plays where other players would get sacked and he just gets away.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't turn into like a interception or something, then yeah.
Yeah. No, but some of the time, it doesn't always mean the pass protection is good. It just means they don't always catch him.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right. Any other statistics there before we roll into the next segment?
No, I think that's enough for today. I think there was a few other things, but they're, you know, that's kind of the highlights I wanted to point out.
That's good stuff. We're doing kind of an abbreviated one tonight since we don't have an actual game either to review from Saturday or to preview for next week. We're just kind of doing some basic stuff, and so let's go ahead and thank our patrons real quick, and then we'll get into our last few features like the power poll and the listener questions. By the way, I did want to mention that we did this. You may have noticed that last episode was of AU Wishbone was White Rocket 499, and this one is 501. So you would be forgiven for saying, well, where's 500? We recorded 500 before this. We recorded 500 on Sunday afternoon by doing it as a live video. I just haven't edited it down for broadcast yet. So it is in the right order. This is 501. We just kind of haven't broadcast 500 yet. It was like a gathering of all of our hosts and co-hosts from all our various shows. And it's a pretty neat conversation, I thought, for an hour. And so I'm going to put it on all the feeds coming up in the next couple of days. I just have to edit it. So if you didn't get to see it on YouTube, and it is on YouTube on the AU Wishbone channel, but if you don't want to watch it, you want to just hear it as a podcast, it'll be coming through these channels in a couple of days when I get a chance to edit it and put all the bells and whistles on it. So look for that. But that what we have passed 500 now. We're into our second 500 run of episodes. We started all this back in in the fall of 2012, and here we are 8 years almost to the month later, 501. So that's pretty cool, I think. So we don't do ads. We don't have any outside ads anymore, if we ever really did. We depend entirely on our listeners to keep this show on the air. So I'm going to make this short and concise and quick tonight. If you want to join the AU Wishbone family and be part of the fun, be part of John's Power Poll, SEC Power Poll, be part of our March Madness pool. In a normal season, we do the Formula One, the Fantasy Formula One League. You get discounts on our books, all kind of stuff. Then just go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and sign up for our Patreon, and you'll be all set. And as always, I'm going to thank the fine folks that have already done that. And that includes Samuel Salvatore and Christopher Burleson, along with Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick. See, if you join up, you get on this list, and I'll mention your name if you want. Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, Ann Kanjian, Hey, You Falling Up? Maybe I'll even have a fancy way of saying your name. Ben Bloodworth, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, Joel Beckham, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Timothy, WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Alex Wynn, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Colby Butler, Danny Flack, plus, as Patreon slowly loads the next page, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Dibama, Earl, I always recommend Dibama, Earl Ricks, Eric Mahan, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Shane Bailey, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tom Pittman, Todd Gray, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Sisson, Brandon Smith, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Evans, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, I'm not doing a very good job tonight, James Taylor, Jason Albrick, John Stubbs, we just saw Jason on our show yesterday, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Matthew Flowers, I'm almost done, Mick Vigicana, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Robert O. Simmons, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, Chris, and all of our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank all of you so very much. Go to www.auwishbone.com and sign up and join the fun. I also want to thank, by the way, some of you may have noticed that I posted a GoFundMe because my mother-in-law is having health-related issues dealing with her parents and herself and everything, and I'm just trying to do my part to help out extra. So I appreciate that quite a few people whose name I just called have been part of that, and I'm going to thank you all once we get to the end and are ready to give her that check. So thank you guys, everybody. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can drop me a tweet or an email or just go to Twitter, and I've been retweeting it occasionally, so that's all I'm going to say. Let's see. We have the Power Poll, John.
We do. From our patrons each week, we have the Power Poll, and I'm going to go with the results. As usual, I'm going to start at the bottom. Vanderbilt.
Woo!
Hello.
All alone.
Maybe nice. The worst SEC team in 15 years.
Wow.
They are bad.
All alone in the night.
Slightly above them, Mississippi State, Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, kind of in a group.
Mm.
Then Tennessee and Ole Miss, kind of the mediocre middle, right?
Tennessee LSU may be falling.
LSU and Arkansas. Yeah. But, they're LSU and Arkansas equal, kind of in the upper middle.
I never thought I'd hear those words. Yeah. Okay.
All right. But if you're like, yeah, okay, I'll buy that. Auburn, Texas A&M, Florida, Georgia, Bama.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Some of these people may have voted before watching that Florida-Georgia game.
Yeah, I wouldn't have Georgia in the top three right now. They're remembering what they did to us, but it's like every team we played that looked good is bad now or mediocre, and the teams we haven't played yet are great, so I'm a little nervous. We're catching everybody at the wrong time, John.
I agree. Ugh. But that's Auburn, right? I mean,
it is.
You know, well, just to point out, like, we're supposed to play Penn State next year. They're 0-3 right now. Guess where they're going to be a year from now?
Oh, they're going to be 10-0 or something. That's the thing. When people are saying, oh, it's a crazy chaos year, that favors Auburn, we're going to go undefeated, I'm like, well, or we catch everybody at the wrong time and we have a problem. So I think it's a little more the latter right now, but we are playing well enough, so we'll see. Yeah, that was a good poll. I disagree with a couple. I'd have Tennessee lower, I'd have Georgia lower, but otherwise, yeah. There's no update from Jared this week because we didn't play a game. But I'm looking for, he really raised the bar with Robo Gus or whatever it was. So I'm looking forward to more fun from that. So now I guess we have to go to the House of Commons to bang the gavel.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Please clap.
All right. And what do we got this week?
Oh, you thought we weren't hearing from Jared.
Oh.
All right, here's Jared's question.
Oh, there we go.
Jared wrote in to awishbone@gmail.com and messaged me on Twitter. And his question is, now that we're well into COVID football season in general, not just Auburn, how does the reality of it compare to how you thought it would go in the preseason? Biggest pleasant surprise, biggest not so pleasant surprise.
I got to tell you, John, we're having audio problems tonight. I think there's something in between our houses because our equipment seems okay. So you're a little distorted that time. So Jared is asking best pleasant surprise and best unpleasant surprise with regard to what?
COVID football season.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I think that we were told at the beginning of it that nobody was really going to go undefeated, and Alabama, of course, didn't listen, dang it. But we were told nobody was going to go undefeated, and there would be surprising losses. And I think that Georgia really has, you know, proven that to be true. And, of course, Florida losing to Texas A&M, I think it was, you know, has proven that to be. I think that other than Alabama's undefeated right now, right? But, I mean, even it's Clemson true. Lost to Notre Dame. So, because of the quarterback. But that's a COVID thing. So that's what I'm saying is you're getting unusual outcomes and unusual records because of the instability of this year, more than I even thought. I
think that's fair, yeah. And I think things like the LSU-Missouri result kind of goes in that direction too.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, probably so. I guess I kind of thought that that the teams just wouldn't show up, but if they did show up, the results would be about what we would expect. So the thing that surprised me has been that they've shown up, and then we've gotten some pretty surprising outcomes, you know.
Yeah. I mean, college football is always somewhat unpredictable. That's one of the reasons we like it.
Sure.
But I think this year, more than normal, it's unpredictable. And I think there are you know, teams that are missing more people than we realize and keep positions that it's affected the outcome more than people think about, like, later if they don't watch it or look carefully.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Our next question is from Auburn Elvis.
All right.
Who says, I asked this only to make Van more nervous. Does having multiple weeks off before the Tennessee game basically make it a bowl game?
That's a good way of looking at it, honestly. I think he's probably onto something there. Yeah, it's the Hillbilly Bowl, the Waller and the Holler. I like that. The Waller and the Holler.
Is there? I was trying to think of like a place halfway between Auburn and Knoxville, like a Dalton Rug Outlet or something.
Hello and welcome to the Dalton Rug Outlet 2021 Bowl. Yeah, that's I could see that. That's the kind of that's who they're going to be down to having sponsor things soon, I'm afraid, because of the big bowls getting canceled and stuff. Maybe.
Sure. So the next question is from Spencer Larch on Twitter, who asked, And this is he's the question he wrote before the game got canceled, I think. He said, people mocked, rightly, Pelini's refusal to stop playing man-to-man defense against Leach in the opener. Since then, Mississippi State has seen the steady diet of keeping in front zones. With Steele loving man-to-man, will he deploy a lot more zone, a little more zone, or mostly man? And I think one of the things we know about Kevin Steele is that he is not an idiot.
No, and generally,
if something's working, he's going to do it. Yeah. So Auburn does like playing a lot of man-to-man, but this is a case. And we did this some against LSU and some against Ole Miss where we dropped a lot of guys back and played some zone. And I think we're going to do what everybody else has been doing against Mississippi State, drop, you know, basically seven guys back and play a soft zone and just tackle them. So, and what you and I have plenty to talk about when we actually preview the Mississippi State game, about the philosophy of the air raid and why it's working or not working.
Absolutely. I mentioned before, I read that really good book called The Perfect Pass. And if you are interested at all, folks, in offensive college football and like where Mike Leach came from and Hal Mumme and the air raid and their personalities and their history and everything, you need to pick that up. I have it on Audible, so I was able to listen to it over the space of about a week, and it is really, really a good book. So I recommend it highly. It's called The Perfect Pass.
I would second that. All right. Next question is from Carl Von Drunker, who says, is getting healthy with the second week off more important than the rust or timing issues we will have going into Tennessee?
I'm torn on that, honestly.
I mean, if you said the second week off was going to result in KJ Britt being back, I might be there.
Yeah.
but like, true. I do think, again, the conference only grind is way, especially with all close games and you know, very little time to get the starters out. It's been much tougher on the players than a regular season would be. So
yeah, I think so. It really is interesting how much difference it makes in everything to not have, like, you know, Ball State or whoever in there. That's really surprised me. It's been fun for us because we've had a fairly, you know, entertaining matchup every week. We haven't had any gimmies, but it feels weird. I don't know.
It does feel weird. I agree. All right, next question is from Samuel Salvatore, who says in his email, hey guys at War Eagle, do you think Jeremy Pruitt is starting this? What did he say?
I just said, hey, Sam.
Oh, okay.
Just audio. He says, audio lag.
He says in his email, do you think Jeremy Pruitt is starting to sound like Jeremy Blewett after that Arkansas loss? Which is, you know, very fair. And his other question is, how good is Florida really? Do you think they have a shot of giving Alabama a run for their money after they're seeing their NFL receivers catch every pass against Georgia?
Man. Yeah, well, that's the thing. How much of that was Georgia and how much it was Florida? I mean, I think on a given day, with everything bouncing the right way, Florida could beat Alabama. I'd rather go into that game being able, like you said, you know, with the current trends and everything, particularly this year, I'd rather go into that game being able to score some points and try to win like last year's Iron Bowl rather than going in like Georgia and try to win 13-10 and lose like they always do, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think the biggest difference in that game, the Florida-Georgia game, was the quarterback. Like, Georgia's quarterback is a net negative for that team right now, and Florida's quarterback is really good. I underrated Trask. He's good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't look like a quarterback you want to rate highly, but he makes you feel like you kind of have to after a while.
Yeah. And I mean, they have great receivers. Pitts is a monster. Antonio is great, and they have some other guys. And they basically did the LSU thing where they put, you know, five guys, they took the running back, put him out in the pattern, and they did the wheel route like all day long.
Yeah.
But that game broke the way, we'll get to it. That game broke the way Georgia wanted to, and they still got killed. So
that's exactly right.
All right. Our next question is from Theodore Roosevelt, who asked, is this postponement a blessing in disguise? We can now carry the momentum of the LSU in right into Tennessee and Alabama, hopefully finishing strong.
I guess that's one way to look at it. I'm looking at it as, dang it, I wanted to see a football game Saturday that involved my team. But, I mean, if you got to try to find a positive, I guess that's it.
It is, but 2 weeks is a long time to carry momentum over.
It really is.
The last question is from Brandon Sisson, who says, Hey, Van and John, War Eagle, my question is, a lot of Auburn fans are so harsh on Bo and his play. Shouldn't they be more supportive of him instead of criticizing his performance at every play? I personally love Bo and think he does an outstanding job and tries to win games when most quarterbacks would just give up when things go bad.
Yeah, I mean, we got mad at him for the South Carolina game in particular, but I thought he's played pretty well the last 2 weeks.
He did, and I think, again, some of the criticism towards Bo is criticism of the coaching of Bo, right?
Yeah.
They put him in that position and that kind of stuff. But some of it is also the things that he does, the zeroing in a one receiver and the. But I could say this, like, you could see a definitive change in him the last two games in terms of that kind of. He's not doing that thing where he tries to keep the play alive and run around and throw it, right? Where he kind of goes to his right and tries to just roll out, keep the play alive, wait till the last second, and then he ends up throwing it in the ground. He's not doing that anymore.
No. No, we've talked about that last week, that it seems like they have designed the plays to take advantage of his mobility a lot more the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't doubt that. I mean, Bo Nix wants to win more than any of us want to win. I don't doubt that for a second. I think some of it is Auburn fans, we see other young quarterbacks come in and they dominate right away, right? And we want that. And that's what we want out of Bo. And so I think he's on the path towards being a great quarterback. He's really, really good. I think his performance against LSU was one of the best by anybody in the country this season. And so I think he keeps going in that direction and we're all going to be fine. And I agree. I think, you know, Bo Nix was thrown into the fire last year when it would have been better if he wasn't. And that's, you know, that's kind of what it is.
I agree.
But I think he's overcoming that.
I agree. All right. Was that our questions?
That's it.
All right. Well, I guess last thing to do then.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
And I guess we had a few to report on from last week. I'm not really sure what to make of this coming weekend now. But we were talking about Florida beat Georgia 44-28, and you said that it really kind of broke the way Georgia needed it to, and they still got killed because they go up like 14-0 or something? They scored two touchdowns like the first 3 minutes of the game. And then turn around.
And they had the long run off tackle and the pick six, and you thought they were going to kill Florida.
Yeah. And after that, the score was 44-14 Florida. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I did go back and watch that game, the highlights, because I didn't. No, I watched that game. Yeah, it was the Clemson game. I had to watch the highlights because I didn't even realize it was on. But yeah, I watched Florida Georgia for the most part, and yeah, it was really remarkable to me how Florida was able to throw the ball on Georgia's defense, and I kept thinking, why couldn't we do that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think some of it's a good question.
Yeah. Vanderbilt actually came within a touchdown of beating Mississippi State, which is good for Vanderbilt, but not good for Mississippi State. Isn't that crazy? We're in a year where Mississippi State ran the score up on LSU and then had to hold on to beat Vanderbilt by one touchdown.
Vanderbilt turned the ball over five times and held Mississippi State to negative rushing yards and then lost by seven.
Good gosh. That's crazy. Unbelievable. A&M just destroyed South Carolina, which the transitive property means that we should lose to A&M about 90-0, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I just don't understand what's happened to South Carolina.
They've really dropped off. I mean, I think they kind of lost confidence. But also, I got to give some credit to A&M. Like, they went into that game and took care of business. They didn't give anything to South Carolina. South Carolina is the kind of team, unless you help them, they can't beat a good team by themselves. And A&M went there, took care of business. They ran the ball. and they played good defense, and they just didn't make any mistakes, and they crushed them.
Yeah, they really did. And then Arkansas beat Tennessee, and that was amazing to me that Tennessee had a couple of chances at the end, and Arkansas just shut them out, just shut them down. Didn't let them threaten, you know?
Well, and it was the final score was 24-13. It was 13-0 Tennessee.
Yeah. And I thought Tennessee made a couple of tactical mistakes along the lines of what Arkansas was making early in the year. Tennessee got down to the red zone and could have kicked a field goal to make it 24-16. And instead they went for it on fourth down and didn't make it. If they'd made that field goal, they'd have had the chance at the end. But instead, when they got the ball back finally, they were down 11 points, and they used every second they had to try to go down and score the first score and didn't leave anything for them if they did. Like, it's like if they'd gotten into the end zone and scored and gone for two, it would have been 24-21, and the game would have been over. They used all their time trying to score that first score. It was just weird. I wasn't impressed with the decisions Tennessee made, either in terms of kicking the field goal or going for it, and in terms of clock management.
No, and they're yanking the quarterbacks around too. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right. So, all right. Well, this upcoming week, Georgia at Missouri. That's interesting to me because it's at Missouri. Georgia's not playing very well right now. We'll see. I still got to favor Georgia, but it's going to be closer, I think, than it should be. Do you concur?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Georgia's bad after I said it, but maybe they're reeling after that Florida loss, and now they're not going to go to the SEC title game.
Snowball effect. Vanderbilt at Kentucky. Kentucky, if you can't win this, give up football. We don't know if A&M's playing at Tennessee. We don't know if Alabama's playing at LSU, so probably not, right?
I mean, it might happen, but you know, chance of both those games happening is pretty low, I'd say.
Yeah. Arkansas at Florida could be fun. I mean, I think Florida's going to win. I think it's going to be another frustrating loss for Arkansas because I think they're going to be in this game for a while.
Yeah, no, and last week was Florida's Super Bowl. This is 100% the letdown spot where Florida's going to come in, and they're going to celebrate all week about the win for Georgia. We're up. We go to the title game. We play Alabama, and then they're going to come in this game and go absolutely flat.
It's a trap.
That's right. It is a trap. And finally, the chickens at Ole Miss. Man, I would have bet everything on South Carolina about 3 weeks ago. Now, honestly, I think Ole Miss is going to win this game.
I agree.
I just
the buzzards are circling Wilmot's champ right now.
It's the South Carolina buzzards right now. The game buzzards. Ain't the Gamecocks? They're the game buzzards, and they circling. Caw, caw. I thought they said buck, 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 buck. No, they say caw. It's a different kind of bird circling Columbia right now. Of course, they could say that about us sometimes, too. It's not the war eagle circling Jordan Hare, but I don't know. We seem to be back on our game, so we'll see. All right. Any final thoughts for this week? And by the way, before John is gone, I just want to say again, I'm sorry about the audio quality. John's been lagging a little bit. It's not John's fault. It's just that we've got a crappy connection. We had a hard time getting it going. And we will get it straightened out for next week, I promise. It's not like we're previewing a game or celebrating a big win, so I'm just going to let it go. But we'll get the audio fixed for next week. So any final thoughts?
We're not going to stay up all night and re-record it. So.
No. This is it. This is what you get. I mean, every now and then the Gremlins win, and they're going to win this time. But at least we got the show done. So.
That's right. And, I appreciated the off week. I don't know if I'll appreciate the second off week, but that's what we got.
All right, so let's watch whatever games we're fortunate enough to actually get to see this weekend, and we will reconvene in a week to prepare for, I guess, Tennessee, assuming that we do get to play Tennessee. So our time is up. Mercifully, we thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle Van.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.